Check, check. Mic check.
Fly racing.
This is the Fly Moto 60 Show.
Presented by Maxxis Tires, 100% goggles, Decal Works, Get Data, and Vertex Pistons.
On FlipMX.com, taking your calls and looking ahead to the races with your host, Steve Mathis.
Yeah, welcome everybody, Fly Racing Moto 60 Show. Thursday, April 18th. Thanks for watching and or listening. Lots to get into today. Nashville Showdown 250 Showdown this weekend. That's exciting, right? Dan Truman from Get and Athena and Zach Osborne going to join us today, along with your phone call, 702-586-PULP. We are giving away a pair of 100% goggles and some firepower tie downs. Thank you again for watching and talking some Supercross. Series is getting down to the wire. Cooper Webb, Jet Lawrence tied. That's nuts. So yeah, lots to get into. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing, man. 25 years of Fly. The new Kinetic helmet launched this week. It's Fly's best-selling helmet. You'll see for the price and for the features, it can't be beat. A lot of variation of styles and colors as well. So please check out the flyracing.com website for more information on the new Kinetic helmet. And of course, the Formula helmet and lines of gear from the mild to the wild, from the expensive to the not so expensive. Flyracing.com. And they won the two heat races this weekend with Chance Imus and Max Anstey. I mean, what else do you need to know? Flyracing.com, everybody. Thanks to the folks at Get, Maxxis, Decal Works, 100%, Vertex Pistons, Plum Creek Funding, Seat Concepts, and Zools, all on board with us. Zools, traveling's a pain in the ass. We know that. And if you use the Zools bags, it makes it a little easier. They're official bags of the Triumph Motorsports guys. And also, they have bags for work, pleasure, sporting events, backpacks, travel roller bags, gear bags, and more. Pulp24 code to save, ZoolsBagsCo.com. Thank you to the Zools as well for coming on board. If you need a bag, use that code Pulp24, Z-U-L-Z, Zools Bags. Appreciate that. And also thanks to the folks at 100%, Pulp30 code to save, 100%. Jet Lawrence, 100% athlete. Not bad, right? And also they got the goggles and they got mountain bike stuff, casual wear, 100%. Great guys down there, and the code PULP30 saves you on everything at 100%. So thanks to those guys. Taking your calls, holding things down over there, working the cameras also. It's a one-man effort this week, yet again, the Travis Marks.
Just happy I can be the employee you can count on, Steve.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
That other guy, mm-hmm. He's in Hawaii.
That's shocking.
Nowhere to be seen.
What vacation number is this for the year?
I think it was 4.
Yeah.
Was it? I think
those are rookie numbers. He'll be double digits by the end of the year.
Yeah. We'll review his employee record.
Perfect.
Soon. So is Zach on the line?
He is. Yeah, he answered the phone.
And you guys, your relationship?
He wanted to keep it short and sweet, I think.
Yeah, he's a little mad at you.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right, let's get to our first guest of the night, Zach Osborne. What's up, Zacho?
It's daytime.
It's daytime.
You said first guest of the night.
Oh, okay. Daytime.
Come on.
How are you with Marks?
Who?
Okay. That's how we're going to do it.
Noted.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Marks got a new toy on Twitter. I don't know if you noticed. He got a new thing. So.
Yeah, I saw that Dungun dude tweeting a bunch of crap.
Yep, that's what he does. Tweeting a bunch of crap. That's what he does.
That is what I do, yes.
Actually, he's fine with that, yes.
Good.
702-586-PULP. Give us a call. We got Zach Osborne on the line. Hey, man, I'm most excited about this showdown, I think, even that the 450. Even though the 450 points are tied, this showdown is going to be great. I mean, the Bet Online guys came out with their odds, and they gave Levi Kitchen and Hayden Deegan the same odds. I would put Levi right now with his starts and the role he's on as my slight favorite. I would probably put McAdoo, Hayden, and RJ all tied after that. But what do you say, Zach?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Kitchen's on just a really good level. He's that guy that we see, you know, most years where he comes out, surprises with some results, gets on a little win streak, and just kind of like solidifies himself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't really feel like we have that on the East Coast scene. So to me, Kitchen's definitely the favorite. He's been impressive. Saw him yesterday riding. Still looks awesome.
Yeah.
He's one guy I really like to watch ride because he's tall and lanky and he does a bunch of stuff that I could never do just because I'm short. and I really enjoy watching him ride.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, we talked a little bit. He's Jason Anderson ish without all the movement.
Yeah. I think Hayden is probably the most Jason Anderson ish, even though he's short. Like if he was tall, like Jason, he'd be super Jason Anderson-ish, I think.
You've been in this situation as a racer with showdowns and leading points and all of that. Does the fact that the East just raced last week give the East guys any kind of edge? Like they, you know, they just came off racing.
I don't think so, but definitely the East guys have the most to lose, I feel like. Probably McAdoo is probably in the hottest seat of all. Just because he hasn't had that many wins and he only has a 4-point lead and Hayden's only 13 back. So that's the biggest thing to watch for me. I know that RJ's only 8 back of Kitchen, right?
No, more than that, I thought. Yeah, more than that. Yeah. Let me
but
dig it up.
I think that's the battle to watch within the battle, you know, the race within the race. Just because, I don't know, I just feel like there's some room for something to happen in that East Championship this weekend. Maybe it blows out. Maybe McAdoo wins and, you know, those other two guys falter, and that's that.
Do you feel like, and this is kind of how I, by the way, Kitchen is up 15.
Oh, yeah, 15. Yeah, that's more than I thought. Sorry.
Yeah. Do you feel, I feel like Hayden Deegan, who's an SMX champion and has that chip on his shoulder, he might get caught into a trap of like, I'm going to crush these guys. I'm going to show them the best. I'm the man. I don't know if he's mature enough as a kid to handle taking a third and leaving the place, you know, with a few points on McAdoo or maybe a few points lost or whatever. So I feel, Zacho, in my head that Hayden's going to boom or bust this weekend. And it could be either one. I'm not saying which way it is, but either like he crushes everybody or he battles Kitchen hard and gets second, or he makes some mistakes and throws it away a little bit. Am I onto something? Or
I don't know. Okay. I feel like he's matured in the last couple weeks. I think after the danger zone thing at Dallas, he took a lot of heat, and I feel like his interviews have been a lot more downplayed and just a lot less of the frills, if you will. And I don't know that he's matured that much to just go out there and take a second. But maybe. I think I kind of have a little bit of a different look at it now, just in the past few weeks.
I think everything he says is manufactured, though, man. It's all Brian telling him, hey, man, we went too hard last week with the aggressiveness. Now we need to thank God. And like, that's all manufactured to me, and I can't trust it. So I got to go back to him being a kid in my mind.
I would have totally agreed with you like 6 weeks ago, but right now I'm almost won over a little bit again. I love the kid's riding. I like the way he races. But there's definitely been some blunders, as far as his speeches and, you know, talk and all that goes. But I don't know. It just feels different lately. So I'm going to give him a chance.
If he only gains a couple points on McAdoo or loses a couple points with 3 to go, is this thing over? Like, there's one more showdown, Salt Lake, but this is where he's got to make his move, I think, to gain some points.
Yeah, he needs to take 7 or 8 points this weekend.
To have a chance.
Otherwise, I'm pretty heavy on McAdoo. Like I said, this is the race to watch within the race. I mean, this is definitely the shootout is the most thing I'm most excited about. But it's mostly because of what it can mean for these two guys.
Yeah, because Kitchen's got that nice lead. He's not going to – I mean, look, it would take a huge crash or something for Kitchen to not get a top 4, right?
Yeah.
Like a bad start and he gets a 4th, and I don't know. He's just not going to lose that many points, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. That one doesn't concern me as much, even though, you know, McAdoo has only 2 points less over Deegan, which is what we're calling the chase. Vial is only 4 points back, but –
Yeah, we're kind of forgetting about Tom. Myself too, we don't talk about Tom. We got the Hayden kid and we got
Well, McAdoo just hasn't had the flashes lately, I don't feel like. You know, he had the win at Daytona and the win at
Birmingham.
Indy.
Birmingham.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he just hasn't been at the front like Cameron, you know, Cameron with the red plate and Hayden winning races, and I think that's just kind of why he gets a little bit lost in the sauce. But at the same time, he's only 4 points back, and results speak louder than words.
I just think, too, a little bit also, like McAdoo was a ways back, caught and passed him this week, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're, like, looking at, you know, who's the guy? Well, McAdoo just showed him, you know? So
right. But Deegan was considerably better over the weekend. Like, I felt like he looked better on the bike. He looked more calm.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like it was sideways from the first practice in Detroit, whether he came in with a wrist injury or not. You know, the deal with him and Vial in practice at Detroit and the first turn deal and flipping people up, like, it just was a spiral in the wrong direction from the get-go. But it seems to have rebounded a little bit, which is why he's so much in the conversation still for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, your own racing career, I think you said you did one showdown, got eighth. Did you tell us that?
Yeah, seventh or eighth. I don't remember. Yeah. Me and Joey were talking about it the other day. It was Indy in 2008.
So what was – were you stressing, like, as a putting together the two coasts? I don't know if you had the points lead at that point or what your series itself looked like, but yeah.
I had a big points lead, and I left with a small points lead, and it wasn't great. Terrible night. I fell in the first turn. It was ultra ruddy, like, you know, same as it was like this year, and – I just didn't make much progress through the race. That was the night Rensland got on the podium.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just a really, really strange deal.
Super ruddy track. I think Dino got on the box, too.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Dino? Oh, yeah, I think actually it was Dino. Brock was there to get on the podium or something, remember?
Yeah, I don't know. But
I don't know.
It was it was melting during the night show and all of that. It was,
Yeah, right. It was bad. So I didn't make much progress, and it was just a bad night for me. But that's how these shootouts are, showdowns, whatever. And I think that that's why there's a little bit of added stress this weekend.
It'll be interesting to see. I do think West is deeper than East. You agree?
I think they're both about the same.
You do? Okay, yeah.
I mean, if you look at the points, you got Kitchen, RJ, Smith, Marchbank, Shimoda.
Mm-hmm.
East, you got McAdoo, Vial, Deegan, Pierce Brown, Cody Shock. Yeah, maybe one or two guys deeper.
Yeah. Interesting to see Chance Imus win a heat this past weekend. Factory Honda rider, so the expectations are high. He tore his ACL before the year. He got ACL surgery fixed last year. Now it's tore the other one. And he won the heat.
Oh, I didn't know that, to be honest.
Yeah, he did sometime before. He also crashed, hit his head. But then when you, like, it's the whole thing, like, you know, hey, Deegan's wrist, and I get it, but he won Dallas. So to me, I'm like, he won a race, so I'm not using the wrist anymore as an excuse.
Right.
Hymus won the heat. So, yes, it's a heat. So that now that tells me he's underperforming in the main events. But there's got to be some pressure for him. I mean, he's Honda rider, you know?
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I just like the style of Chance, how he came in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of low-key, kind of under the radar, hard worker kid from Idaho. Like, you know, it's a cool story. But I expected a little bit more out of him the past 2 years, to be honest, but not – you know, not slighting his results, but I just feel like he's kind of better than what he's shown.
Yeah, no, I probably agree. Zach Osborne here on the Fly Racing Moto 60 show. Flyracing.com, everybody, check it out. New kinetic helmet out. Maxxis tires as well. Mountain bike tires are great. We know that. They also got soft intermediate to hard terrain tires out. These are the same tires that the Mad Parts Kawasaki and PRMX guys race with, putting in the main events. So developed by some guy named McGrath. He's not bad either. Maxxis.com for more information. Thank you to those guys for coming on board. Zacho, let's take some phone calls. We got full lines here. Damon's on too. What's up, Damon?
Hey, guys. Random question, and feel free to use this for a Twitter poll because I'm curious.
Okay.
Where do guys get their hair cut? I usually go to one of these chains, and my wife keeps telling me, because I'm always disappointed, to go to an actual, like, hairstylist, like a woman usually goes to. What do you think?
I'm in the same boat, man. I go to the chain places, Pookie gets irate because
– Are you talking about, like, super clips?
Yeah, great clips, super clips, yeah. Whatever. And Pookie, like, maybe one out of four, every fourth haircut is really jacked up, Damon, and Pookie gets mad at me.
What are you thinking?
Because it's cheaper and it's easy. Right, Damon?
Yeah, you just go in, you can save your spot online and just run in, get a haircut.
Hold on, Zacha, hold on. Damon and I are talking about cheap haircuts. It's it works out great. But Damon, you do get some jacked up haircuts, right, once in a while?
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like every other time for me that I'm kinda disappointed. My wife just tells me stop going to the places, but I don't want to pay like $40 for a, you know,
$50 plus the time. Like it's an hour. Zach. Yeah. This would be a good poll, Zach.
Bro. So I was probably a supercut guy for till maybe 7 or 8 years ago and went to a barbershop, like an actual barbershop for the first time in my life. And pretty much haven't been back to supercut since. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit more expensive, but get the straight razor on the neck, the full deal, like the full man treatment at a barbershop, you won't be disappointed, and your haircut's going to look like it should because you're not going to a random chain place or a woman's haircut place.
I went – the last time I went, they were blasting rap music, and I couldn't – it was loud, and it was too many people. I had to wait. It took an hour. I don't know, Zach.
Come on.
But, yeah, I don't have time for all that.
Yeah, so, Zach, can this be a Twitter poll?
Yeah. What's your name? Do you have a Twitter, Damon?
Yeah, I do.
Just tweet Zacho. Tweet Zacho. Tweet Zacho so he gives you credit, all right. Damon. All right.
All right, I will.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, look, you do risk some bad haircuts. Marks, what do you do for haircuts? What's your move?
What do you mean?
Haircuts.
I don't get haircuts. Have you seen my hair lately?
It is long, but, like, I mean.
Yeah, I go to a chick in a salon.
Oh, like a salon.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Head massage, shampoo, great scenery.
Too much
good stuff.
Too much money.
Nah. Worth it.
I don't
go anywhere else. Like, that's the only place I go.
I don't have Zach's money.
Yeah, me neither.
All right. Cole.
Whatever.
Yeah, he's so over you.
He'll be all right.
Cole is on 4. What's up, Cole?
Yeah, I had a question for Zacho.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask if he remembers filming for Mini Warriors with Austin Stroop.
Yeah, of course.
That was one of my favorite videos growing up, so I was just curious if you remembered it.
Where was it, Zacho? Where'd you film it at?
Yeah, it was at my house, at my track, at my parents' farm. 2001, I believe. Me, Austin, Bobby Canary, everyone was down for a big Kawasaki race at Muddy Creek that week. Super cool time. Like, as a kid, to have a segment in Mini Warriors was always sick. And, it was a good day.
All right, Cole, that's pretty cool. Do you want to win a set of tie-downs or goggles?
Ooh, goggles, please.
All right, stay on hold, okay? We'll get you some 100% goggles. Pulp 30 is the code to save. Zach, I used to live with Jason and Brian from Mini Warriors, the guys who owned it. In 97, I lived with them. Yeah.
What do they do now?
I don't know. Brian Staben, I don't know what Jason does. Brian is still around. I saw him every now and then.
Jason was the taller guy, right?
No, Brian was the taller guy.
Brian was the taller guy? Okay.
Yep.
Didn't one of them have something to do with Woodward at some point?
Yeah, something.
Sure.
But I lived with them in 97 when they were doing the first one, and actually I was standing right there when they filmed the title sequence. They took the Mini Warriors logo out of steel or something, heated it up with a torch, and then put a black garbage bag over and melted the garbage bag over the letters.
Yeah.
And that was how the title sequence got made. I helped him with that. Yeah. How funny is that? So, anyways.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
You were into amateur racing long ago.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly, right? All right, Danny's on 1. What's up, Danny? What's your question about Chase Sexton?
Not much. My question about Chase Sexton, is he being more consistent since he switched to the KTM? I see he doesn't have as many, like, crashes as much, being only one race.
Well,
you think that's been better for him? You're right.
I think, though, if you ask Chase in KTM, he would take last year's wins and speed over the consistency this year, you know? But Zach, Danny's right. He's been more consistent. He's closer to the points lead at this point than he was last year.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I'm with you though, Steve. Yeah. Like, I think he would take what he had last year in terms of speed and wins over where he's at. But I will say that last weekend was the first time he still didn't have that, like, just straight line sheer speed that Chase had last year.
Mm-hmm.
But he had something that looked more like Chase last weekend.
Yes, I agree. He said it was his best race of the year last week.
I would agree.
Yep.
I feel like had it not been Kenny, he could have been maybe won the race. You know, had he not been trying to pass Kenny, had it been someone else that he would have just ran it in on.
Yeah.
I think he would have been closer to Coop there. You know, he gave himself 2 laps to pass him or whatever it was, 3 laps. And I think had it not been Kenny, he would have maybe had 6 or 8 laps, which would have made a big difference in the race.
Yeah, Danny, I did a podcast with Keir Sexton, his dad. Look for it next week. And he said this has been the most frustrating year for them, for Chase and himself.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, they're happy with KTM, working hard and everything else. But, yeah, definitely a little frustrated. Mark's on 3. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Steve. Something that got lost this past weekend was Justin Cooper was pretty fast in qualifying. And in that first heat race, he was keeping up with Eli before he wrecked. Just curious, Stars had two bikes on the 450 podium 3 times this year. In the modern Premier class, has there ever been a team to put 3 bikes on the podium?
Yes.
What's your definition of Premier? Modern.
450, four-stroke.
Come on.
Yeah, bros. Salt Lake 2020. What's up?
Dino, Zach, and Jason Anderson.
Oh, that's cool.
And also a team I was on, Yamaha, in 04, Anaheim 1.
Nice.
Ferry, Villeman, Reed. And back in the 80s, it happened all the time with Honda. Honda did it with Ernie, Ricky, I don't know, a bunch. So it's happened, Mark. Yeah, it's happened a lot. But fair enough, yeah. So thanks, man.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Zach Osborne here on the show. Decal Works.
That J. Coop crash could have been a lot worse. I'll say He got lucky. Like, it was still super gnarly, and I felt like he got off the easiest way that it could have gone.
Yeah, I think you're right. By the way, thanks to the folks at Decal Works, PulpMX24 is the code to save. At decalmx.com, they make the graphics for the Red Bull KTM team. They make number plates. They'll put all your sponsors on it. They'll put your name on it. You can have Zacko Wacko on your bike if you need to. Decal Works, PulpMX24 is the code to save. The great company for stickers, backgrounds, all of that stuff. Use the code and save with the folks at Decal Works. All right, Zacko, we do have Steve. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Steve. So I have one question for all of us here because Nicoletti just retired as well with his announcement. We don't have AC. Dino's leaving. Are you leaving next? Is it time to just close up shop, or do we have any replacements to fill these, you know, legendary spots?
Phil Nicoletti announced today, Zacko, that he's done at the end of this season.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Bummer, but I understand where he's at. And, you know, he's had a great career. I think he's got a lot of a future left in the sport anyways, not even, you know, without riding. But I think that we're at a point like in the next, let's say 4 years, maybe 6 years, where all of the guys that we know as the guys are going to be turning over. Right. I mean, for sure, Jed will be most likely still here. But you know, you got Eli, you got,
Barsha Anderson,
Barsha Anderson,
mm-hmm. Roxon,
like 10 guys, you know, 8 or 10 guys of those 450 guys that are going to have to be filled. And I think there's potential for a lot of boring years with a guy like Jet in front of us and a lot of retirements.
Yeah,
that's scary to me as a fan.
Yeah, Steve, it was a sad day. I knew this was coming a while ago. Phil told me it was his last year. So, but he's going to still race like vet races and here and there. And you know what I mean? Like, he'll be around. He'll be doing – I'm going to get him doing more media stuff and Racer X call him.
You know, one way and another, we'll get complaining, right?
Oh, he's going to be around. He's going to be complaining. Absolutely. So, thanks, man.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, Phil Nicoletti. There goes our hero. All right.
So, well, Steven,
yeah.
How do we feel about the 450 race this weekend? Is this the weekend?
Is this the weekend?
Is this the weekend that
what does that mean?
I feel like whoever leaves here up in the driver's seat, big style.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think this is still going to go up and down. You know, Jet's got to stop this. Dan Truman's coming up next. I'm definitely going to talk to Dan about it as he's around that compound a lot more. The kid's been riding well, though, still. But, like, yeah, what are you going to do, right? When the starts are everything this year, the margin of error is so slim. These dudes are riding so quick. Eli looks like he's back. So he's going to cause problems for Jet, I think, too, now. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see. I think we're going to see a similar track to last year where it's ruddy with a hard base.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know who that favors, if anybody. I'm not sure. Do you
hard,
think?
Hard base, I would say, favors Jet, but you just never know with Coop. Like, dude can show up anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, I'm with you. Lars was on the show Monday and talked about how, from their data, it looked like Jet's jump was great. His RPMs were good. Everything was great. But he spun on the dirt. So
yeah,
right over the gate, the hard pack dirt. So, all right, we got Derek on 5. Derek wants to talk about starts and engineering and rider and technique. What's up, Derek?
Yeah, basically to your point there, like with the grates and ECUs and everything, like how much of starts has become an engineering problem versus rider technique these days?
Zacho?
I hate this argument just because I don't feel like it's a big deal. And it's a massive deal on Moto Twitter, but
I think you're wrong. So yeah. Okay.
I don't feel like there's that much. I mean, if the ECUs are a big deal, everybody has them. You know what I mean? Like, I still think that there's so much feel in your butt and in your hands and your throttle and your clutch and all that there's, yeah. I mean, I just don't see it. Like, it's not like they're going up there holding it wide open and there's some traction control that just gets them out of the gate good. Like, that's just not the case.
Okay. Derek, I would disagree. I think it's a lot of it, but it's not everything. This isn't F1 where you can mat your car coming around
exactly.
a corner. You know, you can't do that. But
people make it seem like that. Like, I really think that there's people out there who think that there are, like, ECU fixes for that. Like, they're just up there. They dump the clutch with the throttle wide open, the bike takes over, and that's a start map. But that's not the case.
Yeah.
I remember talk about there were some maps that, like, cut horsepower, and that was limiting some guys, and they kind of went back to, hey, just take the reins off and let me have all the power, and that made a difference to some guys. So I kind of wondered how much of that was an effect. Sure, everybody has ECUs, but there's different programming and –
Yeah, different ways to do it, right? And then you have your light that tells you that you're at the right RPM. And
the light was a huge game changer for me. So I haven't raced in 2 full years mm-hmm. now on a factory bike, and the light was a huge thing for me. I never used a start map of any sort. I don't think I even had that available to me, but I did use a light that just told me where my RPM range was, and it was huge for me. But I still had to let the clutch out, and I still had to control the throttle and make the thing hook up, you know?
I think they're a little easier than when your day is. But let's ask Dan about it. Dan works for the Get Guys. Let's ask Dan Truman next about it and see what he says. Derek, it's a good question. We can get into that more with Dan, I think, as far as, like, the cutting of the RPMs and the cutting of the horsepower, you know? So,
sure.
Thanks, man. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Keel McStovepipes on 1. What's up, Keel?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's happening?
I don't know. I have a whole bunch of things I want to talk about, so I might call in Monday, too. But before Zach gets off the phone, this is kind of a race tech rant. The amount of tear-offs riders rip while they're on the gate and after they go over to the finish line is just unbelievable to me. I think it was Hymus. He was on the gate of a heat, ripped, I don't know, 2-3 while he's just sitting at the gate. And then after the race, he's, you know, again, he's going up to the podium thing and just rips 2-3 tear-offs off. And I don't, is there something behind this? I'm like, they just pull, and like when they're on the gate, it's like they just pulled the goggles out. Nothing's wrong with them. And yet, you know, they're pulling them. So I don't know if there's something behind it or I'm just the old man yelling at clouds.
Zacho?
Yeah, so for me, the reason they'd be pulling them on the gate is, like, the goggle guy, especially if it's raining or something, he'll build, say, four sets of goggles with 21, two sets with 28, and a couple sets with 14. And they got to the line, they realized it wasn't as wet as they thought, and they want to pull off a whole stack, but they can't find the seven, so they just pull three and four until they get down to the one that separates, which is a common thing. Like, typically you wouldn't run 21. 21's super glary in stadium lights, so I would never run 21 even if it was pretty muddy. After the race, I can't really explain that one unless they just don't want tear-offs on the podium, which some people do. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason. Definitely on the line, there's a reason why they're pulling them. I see guys do it all the time, and I would be in the same boat. Like, if I got down there and I went out for the sight lap on a dry track and I had 21 tear-offs on, I'd be getting at least seven, maybe nine off there.
I would think, though, being a former goggle guy for a heat race, you would only heat race non-weather, you'd load 14 on. But even 14, right, there's a little bit of, you know, you're a little blurry, let's say. Not blurry, but a little thick. So then you would rip off.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, I would sometimes only want 12 and just take the top two off.
Yeah.
You know, I would maybe pull one that I didn't like when I got down there, and then I didn't want 13 tails on my goggles, so I'd pull one more for 12. there's a lot of that stuff that goes on that people don't really.
Yeah, Keel, the amount that you put on does there's glare, like Zacho said, there's a little bit of vision blurriness, so you want to get it down to the number that you need. The goggle guys put on more than it's needed because you can always rip them off as opposed to the other way, you know?
Yeah.
So
also, yeah, I think it might just be good.
If you go out and you get a hole shot and you got, you know, more than you need, you just rip a couple off the first triple or, you know, first decent-sized jump just to clear it up a little bit because, I mean, ideally you would just wear a lens, right? But so every one that makes doesn't per se make your vision worse because obviously there's benefits to having it on there, but at the same time, the less you have, the clearer it gets, basically.
Right.
No, that makes sense. I think it just might be my dad traumatizing me for, like, using tear-offs growing up. So
Yes, probably. yeah.
But the other thing I was going to bring up, okay, so Philly's coming up, and I know everybody, you know, the first thing they think of is cheesesteaks, and everybody's going to think to go to Pat's or Gino's, and I highly disagree. I'm from the area. I've eaten all over that place and tried cheesesteaks all over. There's a place called Angelo's Pizzeria. It's on South 9th Street. It's not that far from the stadium. It's probably, I don't know, if you want to walk, it's probably like a 25-minute walk. Cash only. They have the best pizza, cheesesteaks, chicken cutlet sandwiches, everything.
Okay, what's it called?
Angelo's Pizzeria. It's on South 9th Street.
All right, okay. I'm going to tweet that out.
Yeah, definitely. There's probably two other ones I would try, but if, you know, I know you guys probably are on a time crunch while you guys are there, so that's like my number one place to go. I get it every time I go in the city. But yeah, I highly recommend, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
All right. God bless Tim Ferry.
I agree. Thank you. Zach Osborne here on the show, brought to you by the folks at Vertex Pistons, by the way. Thanks to Vertex Pistons for coming on board. And made over there in Italy. They got cash and forge pistons, whatever you need, ATVs, UTVs, dirt bikes. And they're a member of the All Balls Racing Group, a combination of the finest aftermarket power sports brands out there. AllBallsRacingGroup.com. Vertex Pistons, precision equals performance. Thank you to Vertex guys. We got Jeremy on three. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, Steve. How's it going, man?
Good, man. Thanks for listening to Fly Racing Moto 60 show.
Yep. So I got kind of two questions. One, my son is picked for KTM Juniors at Nashville this weekend.
Oh, that's cool. Congrats.
And appreciate it. Kind of bummed you're not going to be there. Mm-hmm. But my question is, does many of you media guys interact with that group of kids? Like, can I expect, you know, maybe speak to JT, Darkside, Weej, any other guys that's going to be hanging around?
Well, Darkside's bringing his chick, so he's going to be all up with her in the press box.
I'm going to nail that picture for you, by the way. Okay. Get that picture.
A problem. I said it on Monday. $100 to the first guy that gets me a photo of them holding hands. So no, I don't think you'll expect to see many media guys interact with the kids. No, it's nothing. Just yeah, we don't have a lot of sense to go over there, you know.
Yeah.
So probably not. But I mean, I guarantee you, Dark Side will come meet you.
All right, sweet.
Just tweet him.
I'll have to hit him up. So,
yeah, just
so my second part to my question is, if you look at the entry list, and I know your rant on the kids' names, if you look at the entry list, you'll probably see my kid on there and have an opinion, but I want to go ahead and get it out in the air right now and see what your thoughts are about my son's name.
Yeah, what is it? What is it?
Drifton, D-R-I-F-T-O-N. Is it cool or not?
What the fuck were you thinking, man? Why would you name your kid Drifton? Why?
Well, it was
why?
It was 100% on me, and my wife had nothing to do with it.
Oh, my God,
but I actually heard the name, and this may sound crazy, but I heard the name when I was about 16 years old, and I said, if I have a son, I'm going to name him Drifton. It just
Dude,
sounds
what,
cool.
What decisions, what decisions at a 16-year-old are ever smart? Like tattoos, kids' names, I'm going to jump off this three-story roof into a pool. What 16-year-old makes good decisions? None of them do.
No, I agree, but my kid's name is cool.
Jeremy, you sound like a nice guy.
I am.
You sound like a great guy.
Zachary, what do you think?
I like it. I think it's creative. I've got three creative kids' names, too, so I get it.
Yeah.
Your whole life, you're Drifton's whole life. At Starbucks, at school, at a job interview. Hey, what's your name? Drifton. What? Drifton. Drifton? Yeah, Drifton. D-R-I-F. Like, his whole life, he is doomed to have to tell people his name three or four times and spell it out.
Look, in the moto world, I mean, it's a cool thing. Now, if he runs for president, I don't know how common it'll be. But,
Jeremy.
The moto track, it's pretty cool.
Thanks for calling, man.
Love you, Steve.
See
you.
Hey, good luck.
Thanks.
Good luck. The KKSC is seriously the experience of a kid's lifetime. Like, don't miss
it. Man, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Go
drifting.
Go drifting.
Enjoy it. Don't worry about Steve.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, my God, Zach. Drifting.
Oh, I like it. You're giving these kids a complex, which is kind of sad, Steve. Come on.
I mean, I'm just making common sense points about weird names and trying to spell them in Starbucks and school and job applications and your friends and chicks and all of that.
I like it.
You're just going to run that, huh? You're just going to run that, Zach?
I'm going to be the nice guy, yes, sir.
I didn't catch it. Is it no G on the end? Just Drifting?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay, Zach, before we let you go, I need your winners for the showdowns this weekend in Nashville.
Well, I got one right last weekend, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Deeds. I'm going to go with Kitchen and I think neither of the two title contenders win. I'm going with a duel between Chase and Eli down to the wire. Eli wins it.
All right. Yeah, that's good. All right, Zacho. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. See ya.
Keep it real, Steve.
Do you want to say bye to Zach?
Bye, Zacho.
Bye, Travis. See you later.
Love you, buddy.
Keep it real.
See ya.
Word.
Zach Osborne, everybody. By the way, Plum Creek Funding. Over 25 years of experience, Zach Scott, in the mortgage industry. If you're looking to purchase a home, the rates have dropped. Maybe now is the time. You're a first-time buyer, investor. You got a vacation home like Dan Truman. Zach at PlumCreekFunding.com. Z-A-C-H at PlumCreekFunding.com. Check it out. He's done a lot of people in the industry, mortgages and refis and that kind of stuff. And he does good work. So PlumCreekFunding.com. All right, from Get and Athena, it's Dan Truman. Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Well, the guy that just called in said his kid's name was Drifton, and he's doing the KJSC this weekend.
You love to watch the KJSC and look at the names, don't you? It's like your thing.
I don't know what's going on with the parents in this world. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. What's your kids' names?
My kid's name is Aubrey, A-U-B-R-E-Y,
yeah.
and Riley, R-I-L-E-Y.
Yeah. Normal. Good names. Just normal names. Not a problem.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So,
how's things at Get and Athena?
We're pretty busy. We just got a big shipment in. I'm trying to get it put away with our guys here and get it shipped out. So, yeah, it's been really good. So our new ECU for the fuel-injected two-strokes, the KTMs, has been a big hit.
Yeah, like how many of those are you selling? Good God.
Yeah, as many as I can get my hands on for the 125, the 250, and the 300. So
when KTM comes out with those things and they are kind of horribly, you know, tuned, like – you guys at Get are just rubbing your hands together. You're just like, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we know they're going to – our opinion is maybe they rush the bike or something. We're not real sure why.
I think it's environment stuff. Isn't it environmental stuff?
Yeah, a lot of that too.
Yeah.
And ours is a race, you know,
yeah,
labeled as race use only. So 100% it could be that too. So, yeah, it is good for us, but it does take a little bit of time to get it right. People get really upset when it takes time. You know, it took us a few months, but we have the new bikes, like say 85s for the future and things like that. It just takes time to develop it, you know, to make it right for the public to where they can just bolt it on and go. But yeah, the new ECU has been really good. Obviously the results with Honda has been great as well, so that helps with promotion and sales and stuff like that too. So
if you want a discount code for the folks that get in Athena, email us using a contact form on PulpMX, and we'll pass it on to Dan. He'll give you a Pulp Show listener deal on ECU, on a CDI for a two-stroke, or anything from Athena. Dan, we had an interesting question earlier about the starting technique and, you know, all of the things that are helping riders start better these days, greats, everything else, starting maps, all of that. And like Zacho said, he never used a starting map, just didn't like it. What are some of the more radical start maps that you've seen? Like, do you have ones that cut out at, I don't know, 12,000 RPM only? Or you know what I mean? Like, what's the radical, what do riders, what's the most crazy start map you've seen?
Yeah, and I actually heard that segment with Zach. And,
yeah,
and I think that goes back to some of the older riders. Chad Reed was never a real start map guy. He just always kind of was like by feel and did it. Where I think the new age guys rely on it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The current Honda guys, they are very, you know, start map dependent, I guess.
Yep.
But I also think they're very good with technique. So my theory was always either you're a good starter or you're not kind of thing. You know, mm-hmm. you got guys like Vince Freeze, Carson Mumford, or,
yeah,
you know, Prado, for instance. I think Prado will get a good start on no matter what bike he's on. But we have over the last 10 years at Get and Athena, we tested some crazy stuff. I mean, at Monster Cup 1 year with Josh Grant, you know, we did have like drag bike style where you just held it at the limiter and drop the clutch and go. And it would work sometimes and not work others, I think mainly because we have just a single cylinder, right? So if the gate drops and it's on a, you know, it's on a wrong
cycle,
stroke.
Cycle, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be perfect. But if it's on the perfect stroke, you know, so I think in our sport, it's still rider dependent.
Mm-hmm.
But with the grates, with the plastic, with the data that we can see, I believe you spoke to Lars on the show and he explained, you know, Jet's data from the weekend a little bit. We can see everything, so we can fix it. I mean, we can make it better, I guess. Not fix
yeah,
it. It's still rider.
Yeah, help.
It's still
help,
rider.
Yeah.
But with our RPM light and all that stuff that we have for our bikes, or you know, for the Get stuff, we can take the data and say, okay, Jet or Hunter, whoever, Chance, you're going to get the best start if you're in this range, right? So we can at least give him the light that says, hey, you're in this range.
Mm-hmm.
Now, still got to let the clutch out, move with his body, and do that stuff. But we can help a lot. You know, to where you're not just a guy like, you know, whatever, say, I don't know what Cade has. He probably uses a stock ECU. Someone like Cade isn't going to have that. He's going to have a lot harder time getting a whole shot. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's two things, right? There's an RPM light to help you keep it in the right range. There's also a start map itself. And like you said, older guys didn't like it, but the newer kids have grown up with it, right? So,
yeah, and I mean, ours is a start strategy, you know, and we can change it for per rider, you know. Say whether Shimoda starts in a different RPM than Chance Hymus, they both get great starts, but they use different techniques. So we can work around that technique, you know, so Chance can get a whole shot in his heat race and Joe can get one in his,
mm-hmm.
and they're maybe two totally different start maps. You know what I mean?
Is the RPM, is it like, how much of that is like Joe just likes this RPM and Chance likes 3000 more RPM and that's what we're going to do? Or is it more Honda saying, no, horsepower is here. You're starting here. Adapt to this.
We try not to change the rider's technique too much.
Okay.
Because, like, back to if you're a good starter, I think you're a good starter. And Joe does start with a lower RPM, and we have said, hey, we think this may be better, and we've tried to go with it. But we go back to, okay, well, I get a good start doing it this way. Okay, if that's what works
okay,
for
yeah,
you,
yeah, right.
then okay. All we can do is show you the data
yep.
and say, okay, we believe that this would be better, right?
But it is rider. Rider can overrule that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're always going to go side with the rider. Now, I think with Jet and Hunter, they're a lot of muscle memory, a lot of very good technique that they've worked with over the years, similar to like a Prado, I think, how just the clutch release is really good and things like that. And last week, Jet's release was good. His timing was good. Everything was good. But I think we just got way too much wheel spin. So.
And that would that be Jet gassing it too much? Or would that be a horsepower machine-related thing?
It could be. In these races where it's been really wet, the ruts have gotten really choppy.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, maybe he just hit the bump one, you know, mm-hmm. the way he hit the bump, and it just kicked the back wheel up a little bit, and it gave him a lot of wheel spin. You know what I mean? It's hard. Eli's start was amazing in the heat race. He started in the same place in the main, and it wasn't amazing, you know? So, I don't know. It'll never be, like Zach said, it's still down to the rider at the end of the day.
And
but
so, yeah, and
we
so,
can help a lot.
So cutting RPMs and dumping the clutch doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
Yeah,
no, we tried that. I mean, obviously with a car, you have, you know, more cylinders, you know, 7, 8, 10 mm-hmm. cylinders more to make up for that. So it works in the car scenario, but in a dirt bike scenario, it's not going
to
work.
How do the riders make sure that their butt is in the exact same spot they need to be? Is there anything to help that, or no? It's just like,
I mean, we've made marks on the seat
yep.
and done little things. I mean, before an RPM gauge, you mark the grip, right?
Yeah.
So you make, you know, put. I'm sure you did it back in your day. You take a Sharpie and you mark the grip and say, hey, this is where you hold the mark on your throttle housing and things like that, just like running on a dyno. So we make marks on the seat or things like that. You know, back in the day, there was always tricks, but pretty much everyone knows the tricks, pulling up your pants real tight.
Yep.
You know, you'll see all the guys pull themselves up, all the memes and stuff. The reason they're doing that is because when the bikes accelerate, your pants slide down.
Yeah.
You know, so they're all trying to pull their pants up as tight as they can go, basically giving themselves a wedgie. So when they accelerate, it kind of goes back to the normal position.
Yep.
So. But I mean, for the most
part, that works.
Hey,
I've done that. Kiefer showed me that trick a few years back. It works.
Yeah.
It really works.
Yeah, it worked. Yeah. I mean, Parabinos was big on it in the early days, and like a lot of people didn't really. We used to run baggier pants back then too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And you know, Paul, myself, we were. The start is so important. It's always been important, but even more so nowadays. It seems like it's so start dependent on these races. So we're trying every little trick you can get. You know, I think last week them guys starting by the box, I think they were onto something, you know what I mean? So I think that we try every trick we can.
Yeah, it is crazy how fast as Jet is and how good Jet is. You know, he didn't get a start, and that was it. And, he, you know, Seattle, he didn't get a start either. He made it work because the track was so tricky, I think. But this weekend's track, not as tricky, easier to go faster for everybody, and a great talent like Jet Lawrence could only do what he did, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about this week, and he was fine with it. So in his theory, he said, listen, if I just sucked and I didn't have it, I'd have been upset, right? Like, he's like, if I just went back to the truck, man, I'm a fifth-place guy tonight. But he's like, I wasn't a fifth-place guy tonight. He's like, I got a bad start, and the track was really challenging. I mean, you look at Eli. Eli wasn't able to really carve through the pack much more, you know what I mean, after he crashed Jet past Eli. And I think Eli had made some comments a few weeks on your show. It just kind of took – the tracks have taken away the separation. And I do agree for, as a fan's point of view and what Feld wants, it is great racing, right? The field's close. Look at Coop, Kenny, and Chase this weekend. They're always close. But I think that if it was some dragging backs and a tougher track, I think Eli gets up to the front with Jet.
Yeah,
I think it takes away the elite guys a little bit. That's all.
Listen, if it starts becoming so start-dependent like we've seen and all this, the action, the interest, the fan interest in the sport will waver. It really will.
100%. I mean, this the days of, you know, they're selling all the closest racing ever, you know, and they got all this data to back it up. And I don't disagree. It's because the tracks are not as challenging as they were. I mean,
yeah.
We've essentially taken real whoops out of Supercross at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't had a set of whoops. We've had two sets all year, I think. I mean, yes, due to some weather, but I mean, I know they say there's data, but is there really data that on whoops 10 and 11 people cartwheel?
Muley told me whoops that were 13, 14 long showed crashes. But he didn't say it was on whoop 10. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that when there's a challenging track, like it would be nice. What I think is going to suck is if it comes down to Salt Lake City and a guy gets a hole shot and a guy gets a bad start, the race is probably going to be over. Right.
Yeah.
Like unless they start next to each other or whatever the case is, because as good as Jet is, like you said, or Eli on Eli nights or whatever, it is hard to go through the pack, you know, and actually make passes and, and or do a rhythm that someone else isn't doing. That's all.
Listen, so. I talked to Mui a long time about this in Detroit, maybe before then, and he's like, these injuries hurt the sport. These injuries hurt the teams. They hurt the sport. They hurt the series. They hurt everything. And I'm like, yep. But is this the fix? I don't know. But I mean he's
AP,
right.
But AP got hurt on a Supercross triple, right?
Yeah.
And everybody loves AP. He's missed Nashville two years in a row, probably the most, you know, his favorite race to go to. Mm-hmm. He got hurt on a Supercross triple. Forkner got hurt on a whatever, an on-off. Like, I mean, you get hurt kind of anywhere. Like, right. I don't know. Like, people get hurt, but I don't really see the stats that we lost a Supercross champion in a chase because of the whoops.
Yeah, and Eli's point was great. Like, and I like Mui and Prater. They're good guys. They work hard. They try to do the right thing. Eli's like, can we see it? Can you show us? Can you tell us? Why do we have to show up? Why do we have to show up and Dragonbacks are knocked down at Anaheim and there's nine whoops? Like, and he's got a great point, you know?
I liked what Eli said. You know, he still has a Dragonback on his track, and so do we. And we have some guys that aren't as good, and they're like, well, why do we have a Dragonback? And our theory is that, well, if you can ride a Dragonback, then you can –
yeah.
You're good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then what happens if they show up with a dragon back at Salt Lake City? They change their mind, and now you haven't hit one all year. So not that they're going to do that, but we still ride whoops. We still have hard pack whoops. We have big whoops. We have a dragon back. Like, I don't know. I feel like the days of Chad Reed crashing in turn one and coming back to win a heat race, those don't exist anymore. We're just hoping to qualify if you do that.
Yeah, no, exactly, right? Dan Trimmer from Get In Athena on the Pulp MX show. Luke is on Pulp MX show, on Fly Race and Moto 60 show. Luke's on too. What's up, Luke?
How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
I just wanted to ask about Phil. Who's going to teach these young kids how to flip everybody off? And
I don't know. Like, he's buddies with Marchbanks. Marchbanks seems kind of degaff. Maybe Marchbanks will be the next Phil. I don't know.
I seen Marchbanks. He's too nice. I seen him at the hotel in St. Louis, and he's kind of got that fire in him.
Right, right. Dan, any idea who could be the next Phil?
Oh, man, those are big shoes to fill. no pun intended. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Man, Phil's been in it a long time. He's earned every bit of respect that he gets, and I think Phil will still continue to be in the sport and do great things.
Yeah. Thanks, Luke. Do you want a pair of tie-downs for that?
I would love a set of tie-downs.
All right, stay on hold. We'll get you some tie-downs, all right? Thanks for the question. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, Adam seen Cirillo hanging it up, Phil hanging it up. Kellen Brower had a great point on Twitter, Dan. He said that Phil and AC should do like a Manning cast. Can you imagine those two together?
That would be pretty good. It would be good. Right. We need more of that stuff.
Right.
I mean, I could see J-Mart being a little bit of Phil. He could be a Phil, right? Like getting a little older, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. All right. Hey, so you're around the Lawrence compound quite a bit, and you're probably not even going to answer this truthfully, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Like, Darren and Hunter and Jet, I mean, with the winless streak going on, any changes, anything going on, any signs of changing things up or anything?
No. Honestly, and I mean, most people probably won't believe it, but it's been the same. I mean, we was there Tuesday. I usually go there once a week, and at the compound, I overlook it and test with some other riders and stuff, was doing some stuff with Matty Jorgensen and, and these guys. And same thing, man, hitting golf balls, doing it. I mean, of course, now there is talk of points where we really never talked about that until maybe Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, one, if the series ended today, he's the champion. And two, if you said, hey, you got four races to go and you are the best guy, speed-wise, at least, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, from Darren's point of view, which I totally respect, he's like, I love it. He's like, I think we're getting the best Cooper Webb we've seen in a while. He's like, we have huge respect for Coop. Obviously, I worked with Coop. Coop trained at the place, so
yeah. I was going to ask you, about Coop next. Like, you got to tip your hat to him here, right?
Oh, I respect him. I mean, I fly with him. I fly with him today. I still talk to him in the wife. I mean, the respect is huge, and I respect Coop for doing that too. I mean, don't get me wrong. If Jet is in the last turn or even in a turn, I fully expect Coop to take care of Jet. That's okay. Like, that's not going to change anything. I thought Jet handled himself pretty good after the Barcia stuff. But we're not going like, hey, we lost these points and lost these points. We're like, hey, you're in a good spot. You have the most wins, and you're in a good spot. So has anything changed? No. They were testing some outdoor stuff kind of as the plan, you know. It's not like, hey, no outdoor testing. We're focused on this
right.
Supercross thing. It's like, hey, we're going to test some outdoor stuff. We're going to get Hunter better and you know, everyone's kind of working together. So to answer your question, no, like, there's no like more stress. We're still doing our VIP stuff every weekend. Like everything's the same. Right. You know, I had a fan ask me like, "Hey, you guys gonna cancel the VIP now? Because the points are tied." I'm like, "No, man." I'm like, we have 20 spots for Nashville. Like we're pumped. Like it's cool.
I have seen riders over the years, 100%, and this isn't panicking. This isn't anything like that. But I have seen many riders in championship title fights forego outdoor stuff for supercross stuff. You know, that's happened.
Yeah,
either way.
And I would have totally respected it if that was the case. But
yeah.
From Darren's point of view, and whether I should say this or not, he basically says, hey, if you win it, awesome. He's like, but if you don't, you're 20 years old. You're going to have a great career. I mean, those are his exact words.
He's around, you know, for like, a while. Yeah.
He's like, it's not, it might motivate the kid more. I mean, I don't, of course, everybody wants in our circle wants to win it.
Yep.
But it's like, when you look at it from that point of view, from a real, you know, like a real thing, hey, you're going to make plenty of money. You're going to win plenty of races. Mm-hmm. Like you're racing 17 other past champions. Like it's gnarly. Like,
yep. Yeah.
So
no, you're right.
But yeah, and I also think, like, to the guy about the VIP stuff, like, I think that's what keeps Jet, like, Like, he has fun and, like, whatever. He's still a kid, you know what I mean?
So. Kicker Bob's on three. He wants to talk to you about your betting, Dan. what's up, Kicker Bob?
Oh, boy, Steve. I was actually starting off. Dan, you probably don't remember me, but the situation, but in Indy this year, I wanted to say thank you. You did something so special for a dad and a boy with autism. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah. They came over, they were by the Honda truck, and Darren was doing something, and I told him I'd take care of it, and I think I brought him in, and, yeah, I let him hang out for the day, and, yeah, I mean.
So Dan does. He's a man of the people. Yeah.
He is. The whole crew just took care of those two. So
yeah, but that's kind of like when we go back to just off topic of why we wanted to do this VIP thing is so those, if we're just out there with a Honda truck, that's a lot harder, right? It's a lot harder for me to bring in a whole family of people and have them hang out by the bikes and stuff. So since we have this, not just because of the autism thing, I kind of try to do it for other people too, but we are able to do that stuff. So I think it's cool what the family let us do with Lucas and me and stuff do this. So.
No, yeah, it wasn't just because of that. It was you guys just seen it and stepped up. I just greatly thought that was amazing. Now, on to the other part. Steve has made comment after comment about you got an unbelievable snag at the beginning of the betting on Danger Boy when no one else.
Yeah, last week. Last week, yeah. Yep.
So that's a definite. Steve was he was not just doing an ad.
Okay. No, Dan. Not just an ad. Dan was in and then was gleefully celebrating on our group text.
Yeah, I got him at plus 1600. I got it a little early. Could have been a mistake. I don't know. Not my sight.
Yeah.
Hey, again, Dan, thank you so much. Steve, all you guys have a blast this weekend. Have a great night.
Thanks, Kicker. Appreciate it. Thank you. Kicker Bob, everybody. Yeah, no, that's the Dan was, yeah. Dan did it.
Got a little lucky, maybe.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Seat Concepts, by the way, they got proprietary seats for on and off road stuff. They got a wide variety of options as well, various height and width profiles. And please check it out, seatconcepts.com, whether you're hitting a motocross track or gearing up for a trek across the country. Seatconcepts.com. Pop-MX 24, Benji Bloss uses Seat Concepts at the beta. Among others, riders out there. PulpMex 24 is the code to save with those guys. Last question is from Danny. Dan, thanks for calling Fly Racing Moto 60 Show. What's your question?
Hey, what's going on, Steve? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just had a quick question. So, or not even really a question, but I know, you know, Jet Lawrence, he's the phenom. You know, he's going to be this and that. I'm a big Jet fan. I really am. But I've heard no one talking about this is the possibility of, and we saw it with Cooper Webb in 22, you know, Jet's locked in on Honda. I don't really see them letting him or Hunter go anytime soon. What if Honda comes out with a model that just does not gel with Jet? Like, what if he just doesn't gel with it? Like I said, we saw it with Coop.
Yeah.
I mean, they could go on a run for a few years where, you know, Jet just doesn't gel with his model. Like, what, you know?
No, that, yeah, we look. That could be looks like a new bike is coming. If you look at Geyser's bike, it looks like a new bike is coming. And it's, Danny has a point, and that happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my thing. Like, I just haven't heard anyone really talk about it. I'm like, man, this could be real. You know, you never know.
Yeah. Who did we just have on our show that talked about the 09 Honda? Obviously, JT hated it. But then
Who was that that was talking about? Dubok. Dubok wrote it as a Yamaha guy and was like, whew, we don't have anything to worry about. This thing's terrible. Dubok was saying the same thing, Dan, about that 09, which Honda, you know, was like, this is the best bike in the world. So,
Anyway.
Thanks, Danny. Thank you.
No problem.
My opinion on it is that the current riders are tied into a little bit more of the production stuff than they probably were back in the day, maybe, on the race team side.
Yeah.
So they're not – yeah, yes, there is new bikes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see what Tim's got coming out and everything else. But I don't think that – and I don't think that the coupe thing was like, hey, this bike's not great, right? Like, I think it was more team and, you know, coupe said it, RV said it. Sometimes change is good. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Jeff's just going to have to adapt, but he is pretty good at adapting. He did a lap on Hymus's bike the other day because mm-hmm. they said that's as fast as you could go, and he went like 3 seconds faster. So, on a 250 with different suspension and setup.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I think these riders are so damn good. I mean, you look at Coop jumping on that bike right for SMX, and he was right up front. So, I think they're fine.
Right. Yeah. All right. Before we let you go, Dan, we didn't even talk showdown with you. What's your thoughts? Give us some quick thoughts on this showdown. Who's winning? Who's up there? Who gets an advantage? Who doesn't?
Yeah, I think you got to put Kitchen up there. I think he wants to win this race. But again, he's smart enough right now. The goal is the title. So he is the favorite to me to win. I think he's the best 250 Supercross rider currently. But if you told me Nate Thrasher or Jordan Smith win, I would say, yep, not even second guess you. So I think it's great. It's great for us fans. I think more and more I'd love to see a 250 series like this. I know a lot of people don't like that opinion, but mm-hmm. I mean, just look at when you look at the results this week, just look at all the names, and it would be awesome to go 17 rounds with all those guys. So my pick to win is Levi Kitchen.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Yeah, I think when you look at it a little bit, a weirdo winner, quote unquote, happens a lot in showdown history, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Thrasher's won two of these over the last couple of years, and that's why he's kind of on my radar to win it, as well as, you know, Andrew Short won some of these in the earlier days. I think just sometimes they go to the guy who's maybe going to take willing to take more chance.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that the points are. You know, if three West guys win, the first East guy gets fourth place points. I like that. There's been years where the first East guy gets first place points and things like that. I love how it mixes it up. So, you know, there could be a big swing in points, you know? And that's why I think guys like Hampshire and stuff, yes, he's a favorite, but if he goes and gets a second, he knows that could be a lot of points.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
No, gotta absolutely. Be smart.
All right. Who's your winner? You're picking Kitchen and Showdown, and who's your 450 winner? Jet Lawrence?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with the 18. I think he bounces back this week. A couple off rides. Obviously, I'm biased, but I think he's going to get it done this week.
Perfect, man. Thank you for the time. Get in, Athena, and you got a flight to catch, so I really appreciate you making time for us here on the Moto 60 show. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, that's Dan Truman, everybody. Thanks for listening and watching. Get Maxxis, Decal Works, Plum Creek Funding, 100%, Vertex, Seat Concept, Zools. Codes to save are on PulpMXShow.com with many of these people. Thanks to Fly Racing, of course. Marks, really, really great job.
Just holding it down over here.
Yeah, really great job.
When I get a great out of you, that's all I need.
Well, the other guy's not here, so.
Yeah, well.
Thanks for watching and listening. See you next week, everybody.